Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rule of Three, the Breakdown Edition. As always, I'm your host, I'm Jeff.
And of course, I am Rocky. Welcome to today's show. I'm glad we're finally back on this week. Last week, we didn't have a show.
Nope. I don't remember why. Had something to do, I think. Can't remember.
So how's your weekend, man?
It was all right. Golf. A little bit of USA basketball. A lot of stuff. It's that time of year when you're
Snapchatting, anything like that?
No, I'll leave that to Draymond. I'm good. And it's that time of year where you're like, you can feel sports like running through your veins, but you just can't get it yet. Now, the Olympics start next week. I'll probably fill a lot of my time with that. But, man, next Sunday night. First preseason game in the NFL.
Okay, let's go back to the Olympic thing, Rio. All right, so you don't pay attention to a lot of that.
I'll watch it. I won't say, like, I'll be invested. There are a lot of events I'll watch. I love the swimming. I'll probably watch a lot of the track and field. I'm not watching, like, you know, long-distance running or anything. But, you know, and I'll watch the USA basketball team, of course. For, you know, 10 minutes until they're up by 30 and I lose interest.
It's been
You're not into it at all?
The Olympic basketball, I'm trying to – when you're up by 50 doing a 360 dunk that you miss. That's
awesome. It's awesome. Why not?
I don't know, man. I'm more every track and field.
Yeah.
You know, track and field I'll be watching.
It doesn't feel like when you watch the basketball you're watching, like, Olympians.
Right.
You're just watching crappy basketball.
Track and field, gymnastics, all the stuff they do in gymnastics. You know, not all of it, some of it.
I watched, like, the uneven bars, okay. the rings. Bar.
Yeah, the rings, you know, the one that where they jump off on and do the land.
The pommel horse?
Yeah. Is that the Mary Lou Retton, you know, where...
The pommel horse is, they sit like on the horse thing and they spin their legs around it. That one's pretty good. I don't know what that is, but they jump off the trampoline and they do all the flips in the air and then land perfectly. Yeah,
that one's cool. I can't watch a lot of the gymnastics.
The floor routine?
The floor routine.
Yeah. The streamers.
It's hard for me to watch that. Yeah.
It's just something about it. And you know what? Men's gymnastics is even better than the women's, in my opinion, especially like those rings. You know, them dudes. I've tried to hold myself up on those rings, and you can do it for, like, 30 seconds, tops. And these guys are up there for, like, minutes, just doing all sorts of crazy tricks. The bars are probably my favorite gymnastics thing. Swimming, by far, is definitely...
Swimming.
Swimming is what I'll definitely watch the most. I'm interested. I haven't actually checked it out, but I remember from the World Cup being in Brazil, the time difference wasn't that bad. So it wasn't like the Winter Olympics, which were in Sochi, and you're like... I don't really need to watch this because I have Twitter and I know everything that's happened already. So
because it took place at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you'd wake up and be like, "Hey, we won 7 gold medals. I don't need to watch any of it." Which is worse for me because actually I like the Winter Olympics more than I like the Summer Olympics.
Do you really?
Yeah, because I love like the X Games, I love snowboarding and skiing,
okay.
And I can actually watch like long distance skiing where like they run. And then they have, like, a rifle on their back. They, like, ski for a long time and then pull the rifle out, hit some targets, keep going. It's actually really, really interesting. I love the Winter Olympics more. Plus, bobsled.
Bobsled is great.
Can't beat bobsled. Speed skating. Can't beat speed skating.
You got luge.
Luge. I mean, it's all awesome.
But when Summer Olympics, you got cycling. The race. I just think the long jump, like track and field, is.
I'll probably watch some of the golf whenever it's on. I'm not really sure when. I mean, I know a lot of the big name guys aren't going to be there, but I'll probably still watch it. I mean, you might as well be watching it right now because none of the big name guys are actually winning anything this year. Four first time PGA winners, PGA majors winners.
Right, that's right. The first time since 2011.
Henrik Stenson. Danny Willett, Jimmy Walker this time.
Dynamite.
And of course, Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's the only one that felt like it isn't just a one-off thing. Like, he's got the potential to win more.
No, I agree. And, you know, because he's always been close to the top anyway. These other guys kind of snuck up. But I was listening to somebody talking, Dottie Pepper was talking about there's so much parity in golf now. That's the reason you saw so many first-time winners.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case. I mean, because I think Jason Day is still playing great. He finished second.
He's the best golfer in the world.
Like, Jason Day's playing great. Rory had a heat backup year.
He's had a terrible year.
Jordan Spieth has had not – he's had such a good season last season.
It's hard to follow up. Basically, Jordan Spieth's been irrelevant since the 12th hole at the Masters.
I think we're not seeing Tiger again. Right?
No.
Not anytime soon. And we're so used to that dominant, you know, in golf, we've been looking for it. Now you got a bunch of guys that are good, not great, but really good.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is everybody's like, well, we need a Tiger in golf. Every other sports league in America is like, we want parity. We want parity.
But if you look at every other sports league in America, they all have dominant athletes. Basketball, come on, LeBron.
Have dominant athletes, but golf does too. I mean, that's why they have Jason Day and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and all those guys and Dustin Johnson. Though. They are dominant if you look at it. Like, okay, so like Jason Day finished in the top of almost all majors. He was close. That's the thing with golf. You know, people say like basketball, it's like, oh, well, one shot can make you break. No. It's a game of runs. You go up and down the court. You know what I mean? In golf, literally, look at Jordan Spieth. One shot can derail you, and that's why golf. It just being close, like I know everybody's like, you gotta have championships, and I understand that winning majors is very important. But when you look at a guy like Jason Day, it was like, okay, he didn't win a major this year, but he was close all year. You know, you look at. That's why I say he's by far and away the best golfer in the world, because you look at a guy like Rory and it's like, I feel like every major this year, you're like, oh, where's, you know, Rory McIlroy? I'm looking at Friday afternoon like, Rory McIlroy, not looking like he's going to make the cut. Missed the cut at the Masters, missed the cut at the PGA Championship. I think he missed the cut in another one too. I think not the European one. The Open he made, the U.S. Open he missed. So right. he missed the cut at three majors. And you were supposed to be the guy that was supposed to replace Tiger. You know, Tiger don't miss cuts. That's why I'm saying, like, if you're at the top,
right?
I feel better about you than if you were going to win a bunch.
I think LeBron has made it okay for you not to have to win a championship every single season. I mean, he's won his now, okay, another one. But I think he's helped ease it for other athletes where, okay, you don't have to win every single major to be a dominant. You know, because the only person that's really winning dominant majors right now is Venus Williams. I mean, I can't think of anybody
she's the most
else,
dominant
you know?
Athlete in the world. Nobody's coming close. I mean, right. Her and LeBron, like, that's it in terms of dominance.
LeBron's not dominant, though. I mean, I'm talking about winning championships every single season. Venus is winning every single season.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like, saying. In the terms of, like, dominant, it's like you're always
dominant
there.
Dominant players? Yeah, okay.
You're
sure.
Always there. Like, in football, we don't truly know. I could probably name you seven teams that I think are going to play in the Super Bowl. But
There's one team you can always name, though.
Yeah, the Patriots. Patriots. They're the most dominant team, but I don't think.
Kind of like the Spurs.
Yeah, but they fell off. I'm talking about, like, right now.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, LeBron, I know he's going to be there. Serena, I know she's going to be there. Like, I'm not 100% sure the Patriots will be there. They'll be close.
You know they'll be in the playoffs.
They'll be in the playoffs, but I'm talking about, like, in the end winning.
You mean in the Super Bowl.
And that's what I'm saying, like, in terms of golf. Like, I feel like being first or second. Like, I look at a guy like Phil, old lefty, who's got, like, 11 runner-ups. I don't knock him for that. I mean, look at the Open Championship. Played the best round of golf you can possibly play. The problem is this other cat just crushed it, and there was nothing you. That's the thing about it is, in golf, there's no way to hamper your opponent. Like, you are your opponent. You play as best you can, but sometimes it's just not enough. You can't look at Phil Mickelson and say, hey, at the Open Championship, you weren't good enough. No, that dude was just crazy good.
There's not much you can do when
Tiger was beat by guys who just were out of their mind for a weekend.
When Tiger was in Tiger mode, right, there was no stopping Tiger. Even the guy shoot, you know, there was no competition for Tiger the way, you know, is the kind of thing. Phil, yeah, he had some good runs at Tiger, but it never was a dominant 1-2, kind of like this year in basketball, where you had Steph and LeBron. Right? You knew the two best players in the NBA were going head-to-head.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm more referring to golf as just like, you can play your best, and just sometimes it's not good enough.
No, it's true.
And you can't fault people for that. Like, you can't fault, like, and that's why I use Phil. You can't fault Phil. Like, we can be like, hey, Phil, should have made 7 more birdies. Well, like, it's ridiculous.
If you look throughout his career, though, he's always been runner-up because sometimes he has missed the shot or someone has just played so much better, you know, he couldn't do a lot.
People are going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but if I had to choose between what career I'd rather have, Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson's, I'd take Phil Mickelson's because here's why. Because Phil Mickelson showed you this year he still has it. He still has the opportunity to win some majors. Is he ever going to be like, you know, chasing Jack or anything? No. But he can win 2 or 3 more, come in second four or five more times. Are you going to be like, what, a 5-6-time major championship winner and a 15-time runner-up? That's crazy. And he's going to be able to play for 8 or 9 more years. Tiger's done.
I don't think he's done yet. He's done. We'll see. I would rather be Tiger without the Waffle House incident.
No, I mean, you got to take it all. You got to take it all. I'd rather be Phil. Sure, I've been scuffed up a little bit with some insider trading stuff. But you know what? That's white-collar crimes. I didn't get into an accident and get caught cheating on my wife and then totally blow my back out and just be like, Phil's never going to be a shell of himself because he's always going to play consistent. And when he has those weekends, he's going to be able to put it on. I don't ever see Tiger being able to come back to that. So I'd rather be Phil because I know I could play for 10 more years.
I'd rather be Tiger. Just because
you want to have the glory.
I want to be close to that Jack all-time greatest. And if he can come back healthy, if he can, it's a big if.
I don't know.
But, and, you know, we don't – probably not. He probably won't get there.
For me, I'd rather be one of the greatest of all times and have my nose be clean than to be looked at as, oh, he was great. Like, that's what's always going to be said about Tiger. No, he was great. But then this happened. They're never going to say that about Phil. They're going to be like, oh, he was great. He played for a really long time, won a bunch of majors.
So, all right, you're saying keep my nose clean. The only thing Tiger ever did was the whole car
have sex
incident.
With everyone ever.
Okay.
And cheat on your wife.
And that's not a good thing.
No.
But Phil, actually, insider trading and different things. It's not, you know.
But he was never convicted. He was never caught. It was all just rumors, and they all went away.
Right. Well, you know, money does it.
I'd rather just be a good guy. I'd rather there never be a but at the end of when people talk about my legacy. Yeah, Tiger was great, but.
If you look at his legacy, though, that dominant run he had is one of the most dominant runs ever of any sport there ever was.
Sure, but it'll always be flagged with. But remember that accident he got into.
But he'll always be talked about. Phil Mickelson will not always be talked
about. Yes, he will. Phil Mickelson is one of the greatest golfers of all time.
No, he's good. Don't get me wrong, but he's not Tiger. I'm just saying. I would rather have Tiger's career than Phil. You're asking who's? I would take Tiger. You take Phil.
I'd get you. I understand.
You know, I'd rather be, you know, all that money. He's probably made more money than Phil has, and Tiger's sitting to the side not doing anything now.
You don't know that because Phil's money's probably off in the island somewhere
that
you don't know
third
about.
Party that, yeah. Speaking of keeping noses clean, let's get into the NFL and the NFC East because there's a lot to talk about there. I know you can't wait to talk about my Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, man.
This will be entertaining. Do you know all the additions, subtractions? Departures that we've had. I'll go over it real fast. Cowboys.
I know the arrest record.
Almost say on that, boneheads. Come on.
The whole team is a bonehead.
Well, that's what happened.
You're the owner, your billionaire owner goes out honky tonking all the time.
Okay, he doesn't build a 13-foot statue in front of his stadium, though, does he?
Not yet.
He won't.
That's fine.
Because it's about the team, not the owner.
I mean, that's just a shot at Jerry Richardson for no reason.
Well, no, because it looked like Jimmy Johnson.
I mean, so what?
As a Panthers fan, I'm going to ask you, because I asked Bobby, and Bobby kind of was like, no, I get it. If the Dallas Cowboys built a 13-foot statue of Jerry Jones out front of their stadium, what would be your thoughts?
I wouldn't so much care, to be honest really? With you. Because I think he is one of the best owners. Right. I just think he has this perception where because he tries to do too much,
right.
He gets a bad – I think Jerry Jones is one of the best. I think Jerry Jones, and this is not a secret, he's the most influential owner in the league. If any owner deserves a statue, it's Al Davis and Jerry Jones.
Okay. All right.
I love Jerry Jones. Hell, I'd love to go honky-tonk with Jerry Jones. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
No, he's
as long as he's picking up the tab, I'm good.
You know, you talk about the suspensions and stuff. I'll touch on it real fast. Jerry Jones takes chances on people.
Yeah.
Right? He gives them a second chance, a third chance. He always has. We got to give him credit for that. At the same time,
starting
you
to
have
the team.
To move away from that. Because,
yeah.
You know, the last time it's actually worked for the Cowboys, Charles Haley. It's not worked since.
No. It's been.
So, at some point, we have to move on in our character of the team.
Especially nowadays, in today's perception of the league and the way we're trying to brand ourselves, you don't want to be the guy who's like, yeah, we sign all these bad people and they get suspended. We just want to give them second chances. And you're going to start isolating your fan base. If it wasn't the star, if it wasn't America's team, I think a lot of people would look at them differently and be like, how dare you bring in all these people? Like, that's why when Greg Hardy signed there last year, I was like, that's the only team that could have signed him because it's the only team that could take the like publicity hit because it's Jerry Jones and it's the Cowboys. It's the star. Like, people are going to love them regardless. May not like the decision, but just a root for him.
Yeah. I hated it. I mean, but, you know, ain't nothing I can do about it. I didn't buy a jersey last year. I will buy one this year. Ezekiel is coming.
You better get the crop top.
So, oh, no, I already got it, man. I'm getting the crop top. I'm going to wear it on the show.
I will be gone that
Periscopian
day.
Stick out. You'll love it. You know, talking about the Cowboys, Greg Hardy is not coming back, of course. We lost McKenzie Bernardo,
mm-hmm.
Robert Turbin.
Mm-hmm. Added Alfred Morris.
We did lose Matt Castle, thank goodness. Alfred Morris, we added. We also added, God, I'm trying to think of his name now, Cedric Thornton
mm-hmm.
and Benson Mayu, who's a defensive end from Oakland.
The guy who matters the most is Ezekiel Elliott. That's the guy you added to the team. And I'm going to just jump right into it, man. I say the Cowboys go 10-6 and win this division. But that's not saying much because this division isn't great.
Neither is the South.
No. It's real top heavy. One top.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you compare the two divisions, middle of the road.
Yeah.
But all the teams except for Philly are pretty decent, good. And then you go the NFC South, and it's Carolina. Everybody else is pretty bad.
So we got three that'll probably be around 500. The East will probably be way down. Well, the Bucks will win seven.
The South?
Yeah, the Bucks will win seven. The Falcons win nine.
All right, we're getting into that. I don't know if the Falcons win nine this year.
Eight and eight. I'm thinking really. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that one.
All right.
Then we got the Redskins. Well, first, me and Bobby, of course, I picked the Cowboys to go 11-5. Bobby's got them going 8-8.
And still winning?
No.
He doesn't have them winning the division. Oh, well, Bobby's wrong. Just so everybody knows.
I agree. If we don't – now, I will say
– he's not here to defend himself, so I'm not going to go on
everybody
him.
Is on my doughboy quarterback right now.
Oh,
man. Which it looked awful.
He's looking fat, man. But you know what? He might need that.
He needs that extra cushion.
Yeah, he does.
Which is why he – you know, he looks like Jarrett Lorenzen.
He's not hefty lefty, all right? That dude's big. Okay, so just tell me real quick, who did Bobby pick to win the division?
The Giants.
Okay.
And we'll get into that. Okay, Washington, though, Of course, they lost RG3. They lost Terrence Knighton, which is huge, I think.
Yes.
They did add David Bruton Jr., Vernon Davis at tight end.
That's a good move. The Redskins added Vernon Davis?
Yep, and they added Kendall Reese. But you got to remember, they already got Jordan Reed.
Well, Jordan Reed's the third best tight end in the league.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Goes Gronk, Olsen, Reed, and then Graham. If Graham comes back and plays at the level he was playing with.
Now, also the Redskins added Josh Dotson. They added Josh Gordon.
Josh Norman.
Norman, thank you, Josh Gordon. Josh Norman. Of course, they added Suria Cravens in the draft, Kendall Fuller. So they had a pretty good draft. So what do you think of the Redskins?
I have them finishing third in the division, 7-9. I do like Kirk Cousins, man.
You think he plays a lot of bad teams?
Yeah, and that's why I worry. But you know what? There are a lot of bad teams in the East. So I think that they'll go 7-9. I think it's a little bit of a down year. I really like Jordan Reed. I really do believe this. Sorry, Washington Redskins fans, y'all screwed up. Josh Norman is about to get exposed hard.
Have you seen the practice?
Yes.
Stuff already?
And I said that before I saw those videos. He's going to get exposed.
Well, looking at their schedule, me and Bobby went through their schedule, and it is brutal.
It is. Because the worst thing they could have done was win the division last year. It screwed them this year.
I mean, they played Steelers, Cowboys, Giants first 3 weeks, Browns, Ravens, Eagles, Lions, Bengals, Vikings, Packers, Cowboys, Cardinals, Eagles, Panthers, at the Bears and home to Giants to finish up.
We'll talk about this when we get to the AFC East. But man, look at the Jets' first six games. Oh my God. When we get there, holy cow. But
you're talking about the Redskins. That's a tough schedule. What did you say you go on?
7-9 for the Redskins. They'll finish third. You want me to go ahead and give you the records for everybody?
So you can jot them down,
hold me to it. Cowboys 10-6, Redskins 7-9. I got the Giants going 8-8, and the Eagles going 5-11. And I'm being gracious.
You better than me.
Because I was really thinking
What did you say for the Eagles?
5-11. Five and eleven. That equals 16. Yeah.
All right. Well, Redskins, Bobby had him 8-8. I had him 5-11 because I think Kirk Cousins playing those good teams. And last year when he played good teams, he got killed.
Yeah.
In those games.
The Panthers crushed him. The Packers crushed him. It was bad.
I would be surprised if he has – hey, you know, we'll see. For the Giants, you say you got them going 8-8.
Yeah.
Second in the division.
For me, it just comes down to new head coach. By the way, if you saw the video, Eli's first pass during training camp, intercepted.
Like usual.
I like Eli. I just can't ever get behind him.
I can't get behind him, and they lost Reuben Randle.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a big loss for them.
But
if Victor
Cruz comes back,
then that will help. But still, Randle was the guy to go across the middle, catch the short pass.
They still can't run the ball.
They can't run the ball. The defense added a lot of pieces, but it's a lot of overpriced pieces, I think. Olivier Vernier, not a bad player, but we don't – is he that type
of
player?
They just seem like names.
Yeah,
like, here's
names.
Some names.
You know, Janoris Jenkins in St. Louis or L.A., okay. But, you know, they added – Damon Harrison's the best pickup I think they got on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will help. But they really need JPP to play well. And I'm going to tell you, I picked him to go 9-7 because I think Beckham Jr. is going to take a step back because – you know, he's already got hurt in practice. I think he gets hurt again.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
He's fragile.
Say what you want. The Kardashian curse is coming around to him now.
Just
watch out.
He's so small. That's his problem. I mean, he's an elite athlete, but he's so small.
Yeah, I agree. So, Bobby actually had them win the division at 9-7. Then the Eagles, you said 5-11. Bobby's got them going 4-12. I got them going 2-14. I don't think they win more than two games.
It'd be rough.
With that schedule.
I generally try to be a little more lenient during the preseason, but I don't think the Eagles are going to be good. Bradford's terrible. They're paying way too much money to their backup. and probably the only guy that should actually be playing for them, it probably isn't going to dress. Because Carson Wentz should be starting, because he should just throw him out there. Like, that's the problem with fan bases. It's like, throw this guy out there. Let him suck, man. Like, let him suck. Why not? Like, what does it hurt you to just let, like, you're going to be bad anyways. You might as well let him learn by doing. I don't know.
No, it makes sense.
Unproven head coach.
Yep. No, you're right. You don't know anything about him. And the best running back they got, Ryan Matthews, is hurt.
Yep.
And they lost DeMarco Murray.
That wasn't a loss.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was the NFC East. We'll break down the AFC East in the next segment.
And
we will college football.
ACC preview show.
We are 28 days away.
28 days.
That's right. Can't wait, man.
All right. That is going to do it for this episode of the Rule of Three, the Breakdown Edition. As always, I'm your host. I'm Jeff.
And, of course, I am Rocky. Make sure you tune in to all our great shows on Rule of Three, BSS Carolinas. You can catch us everywhere.
Good day.